A values-based life starts here.
Welcome to In Conversation with Heartlines, a show where we try and help you do what's right, so that you can fix the things that are wrong.
Hi, and welcome to the program. I'm your host. My name's Andile Maphosa.
We were in conversation with Lereko, and he was just giving us a little bit about himself and his fatherhood journey so far. And we spoke about the challenges he faced as a young man growing up with both a present parent and then at another stage, a parent who was present, but not so present, as it were. And he also spoke about the wow moment when his daughter was born and he got to hold her in his arms. Now we want to shift a little bit to some of the challenges that you face as a young father.
My daughter was born in 2017. And when a father is unable to provide for their child, that's not only is it stressful, but it's a great barrier to their involvement. So that's, for me, that's been the greatest challenge in the initial stages. You know, you're constantly faced with the anxiety around, am I useful? You know, am I important? Does it matter for me to be around? You know, because like many men, I grew up knowing that provision is central to who I am as a father. And so that was the great challenge when my daughter was born, Ayana. The first 2 years, I guess, was feeling inadequate and wondering if, is it worth it for me to be taking up so much space in the home, when I need to be providing, for my child. So it's a great barrier that even within this project, this Fathers Matter, we've really looked at as the greatest challenge, you know, the economic barrier, the barrier of provision that society has expected that from men historically and even today, to an extent where a lot of men choose not to be involved and also are prevented from being involved because they are unable to provide. So for me, that was my greatest challenge, was even though I was there presently, I mean, we had the support of family, you know. Luckily, I come from a background where there shouldn't be any barriers when you're there. Even though there was an innate barrier that I had. And physically, obviously, it manifests itself in many ways. When a child needs something, we have to try and find out from family or negotiate with my wife. And you know what I mean? So it definitely is a barrier, but there's ways to support a man. And there are ways to encourage a father who is unable to provide, to keep them as part of the picture, because there are various benefits with having a father.
Let's just talk about that for a minute, because that in and of itself is one of the biggest barriers, the economic barrier. When a man feels he cannot provide, sometimes he's the one who imposes this on himself. But oftentimes we find that it is maybe the mother or the family of the mother who then become barriers to giving this man access. How do you think we can actually work around such things to let not only, you know, the mothers, but also the families know that being a father is more than just money?
I was having this conversation, you know, with Heartlines. Part of our year is producing these 6 short films around fatherhood. One of the short films is called Family Portrait. And it's about a young man who is an artist and is really struggling to get work, struggling to sell his paintings, and then has a baby with a woman who comes from a family that really believes in a lot of our traditional structures that say, when you impregnate my daughter, you're going to have to pay in Tlawulo. And if you can't pay in Tlawulo, we will not grant you access to your child. And so those are existing structures that exist even today in our society, where culturally, if a man cannot pay in Tlawulo, they will be denied access. And some of these men are very young. Some of them are even in high school. You know, an 18-year-old in high school who absolutely is not working. How can they be able to bring about that amount but they would be denied access to their child. And then there's also factors such as divorce, you know, where a couple divorces, and we know how that could be a bitter experience for both parties. But then, as we know in our country, normally the children will be sided with the wife, and then the father is denied access to the child, even though the father was there presently raising the kids. So barriers such as that do exist, where the father is 100% willing, 100% sees it as a right for me to be present in their lives, but there are all these scenarios that prevent him from gaining access. The wife, the wife's family, or the girlfriend's family, the issues that we have together, financial burdens. So those are some of the factors that a lot of men are struggling with. The legal system can be a barrier, where, you know, we are not married, but we share a child, and you deny me access to my child. And a lot of men have lost a lot of legal battles to be able to see their children. Where sometimes they are even portrayed as an abusive father, and the court says, okay, you'll be denied access to your child because the legal party of the woman was able to portray you as an abusive father, even though you're not. And so you'll be denied access. So these are some of the battles that men fight, you know, and I think nationally we want to have that conversation on a national basis and have that from a logical perspective and say, has it helped us to have fathers who are not present? And anyone, when you engage them at that logical basis, they'll be able to say, no, it does not make sense. And so when we get that conversation and we introduce it at a national level, and we get people to talk about it, but actually, no, this is not right. We might, you know, this is not right that fathers should be denied access, even though they are willing to. And perhaps if we get it at a national perspective, policies will come into play there, and men can play their part. Yeah.
Now, on the cultural aspect, this oftentimes becomes difficult because when something like this happens, you always get the elders involved, and some of the elders are very steeped in culture. How difficult a conversation do you think that would be to not exactly do away with things like inhlawulo, but to be able to have this conversation that just the mere presence of an active, positive father figure is quite important? How difficult a conversation would that be to have within communities around the cultural aspects that can become a hindrance?
I think firstly, part of engaging in that conversation, or rather initiating it, would be then to also understand where those, so to say, cultural policies come from, you know, because we can't demonize them and say, hey, you guys are wrong to deny this father access because he hasn't paid in Tlaola. There needs to be some level of level-mindedness and say, okay, it comes from this idea that some of these men initially from conception run away or deny responsibility over the child, and you find that it's the woman's responsibility to get nappies and to support their child. So the idea of inclawla is to say we also need the man to take responsibility, and so that it's not the woman's responsibility. So I think a rule of engagement would be to understand that it's meant for good, but it's not producing good results, in that it's preventing men who are unemployed, men who do not have money, men who are unemployed, men who cannot provide. It's preventing them from being involved. So we need to. So one of the rules of engagement is to say, the cultural policy makes sense and we respect it. However, the results of it are not fruitful, because it's preventing all these men from being involved in this way. Because we know the unemployment statistics are absolutely, you know, they are undeniable. And so we need to, I think in communities, there needs to be a sort of a level-mindedness not to demonize these policies and these cultural structures that have existed over time and meant something. It's just about appreciating why they were there, respecting them, and saying, how do we extract the principles but maintain sort of civility? How do we extract the principle of inklawulo to say, initially, at the heart of it is to get a man involved anyway. So how do we maintain that principle to say, okay, at the heart of inklawulo is to say, man, you can't leave, you have to come in and provide. So actually, a man doesn't only provide finances. Then there's emotional provision, the physical provision of him being there, helping out. So it's to actually maybe broaden maybe the definition of inklawulo to say it's beyond money now. Part of inklawulo is to say, come and provide your help with the child. Come and provide assistance. Come and provide emotional support. And so when you come, I believe when you come to communities with that level of approach, I think people will understand the heart of it. That actually we've distilled inklawulo down to money, and nobody has money nowadays. So let's broaden it. And because that guy who you're trying to prevent access has potential, and if you allow him in the life of your child, he will see the needs that are there and will initiate going out to get a job and all of that when he sees that support.
And thank you so much for actually respecting the heart of the cultural practices, because most cultural practices are there not so much to divide but to bring together. It's just right. Oftentimes the interpretation thereof is what gets messed up, and people want to throw away everything. Whereas if we maintain the heart of it and change the practice, we might actually do something. So now to maybe the father who is unemployed, what practical other things can he possibly do to be involved, even if he's unemployed?
So I think firstly, there's an understanding that father needs to maintain. And that understanding is that you are needed in the life of your child. Because some of it is self-imposed. There wouldn't be any barriers from the woman's side of the family or from the woman herself. The barrier would be self-inflicted, and that, in society, I have to provide, and if I can't provide, I won't be there. So I think that man needs to, or that young man needs to understand that you're needed beyond your finances. It's an understanding shift that they need to have, that you're needed. A child is more than just money, you putting your money into that. Yes, it is. We can't ignore that it is a large component, but it's not the only one. You are needed. As a father is needed. In as much as conception was impossible without you, a child can't live a good life without you. It's equally the same. As much as a mother is needed, you are needed. So they need to have that perspective shift to say, currently I'm unemployed, I'm unable to provide for my kid or for my kids, but I am needed in their lives. So I need to get to a point where I'm present for them. And if I'm not with the mother, find an agreement for me to be present with them. I mean, we've heard stories through the research that there were dads who literally had 2 rands, and every time they see their kid, they're allowed access to their kids. The kids would be happy for 2 rands worth of sweets, because it's not really the sweets that matter. It's that my dad is here. And so sometimes economic barriers are self-inflicted. You are firstly needed in their lives, and you need to understand that overall. Because I don't think a lot of fathers know that they are needed. They think, no, I'm only needed on a financial perspective, but actually your kids need you emotionally. You know, men don't know that actually you're needed, not you're wanted, not it'd be great if you were around. You're actually needed at a psychological level as well, that level of stability that you bring. And as I was encouraged when I was not working then, is that there's so much when you make yourself present for your family, you gain so much strength to then go out and try to find means of provision for your family. Because a lot of men feel like, let me not be around them and let me try to go get work. And then only once I get work, I'll be around them. But trust me, when you remove yourself from those who need you, you begin to see yourself as dispensable, you know. So there isn't any motivation for you to get work when you're living in you're renting a one bedroom somewhere away from your family. Then on top of the financial stress, on top of the work stress, now you have the stress of being unable to see your kids that you're thrusting upon yourself, and also the lack of motivation. When you're there with your family, you're seeing the need at a very tangible means. You're seeing, okay, this is what it's needed, this is what it's that. Then you're motivated then to go out and seek help. And that's the right foundation to have. When I was with my daughter, and I could see the need of the house, even though I could not provide on a financial basis, and even though I was not threatened with that, I myself as a man understood that, okay, there's a gap for me to fill. So I'm going to, having seen what I've perceived in this family, I'm going to go out and even work much harder and even try to make sure my CV is much more presentable. So the motivation was there based on what I saw physically as a dad. And so I was much more motivated. I had a story behind me. It gave me a level of relentlessness to say, okay, my family needs me. Now that I'm present with them, they need me to step up. And so the motivation now is right, because it's influenced by your presence in the home. So it's to say to young men, be in those circumstances, be there with your family. Don't leave, be there with them, and use that to nourish your abilities to go get work.
Don't give up on that vision of being the man, the father, the husband that you wanted to be. Lereko, thank you so much for your time. If people want to get involved, how can they get in touch?
So we are really open to work with whomever. If you need knowledge, if you want to be part of the movement, the project, you can reach me on my email on Lereko, L-E-R-E-K-O at heartlines.org.za. You can drop me an email there. You can call me on my number, 072-985-7584. And just to find, even if it's just finding out what to do, you just recently found news that you're a new dad and you need information, give me a call there and we can set up time to chat.
Great. And then online, if you are looking for tips, the website?
So the website is heartlines.org.za, and we have within the Heartlines website, we have the Father's Matter page within it where you can gain all information. So all you need to go is to www.heartlines.org.za, and within it you'll find Father's Matter, and we have tips for dads there. We have all kinds of information. We have stories from men who have, trust me, have gone through what you've gone through. We have stories even about single fathers.
Get in touch with Lereko at heartlines.org.za, or you can head over to our website, www.heartlines.org.za, and just click on the Father's Matter link and you can find all the necessary information that is there. And that's all the time that we have for today.
Playing us out today is Dr. Michael Moll, who is one of our Father's Matter ambassadors, and he shares on why there's no rule book for dads. Have a listen to this and we'll see you next.
The moment I became a dad was a very special moment. Something changes in a dad, and I'm sure changes in a mom too, but from a dad's perspective, it was almost as though all my ambitions became, you know, ambitions for this little guy. Josh was the eldest, now 20. Rachel is my daughter, my one and only gorgeous, precious daughter. She's 18. And my youngest son, Nathan, 12-year-old, still a huge Lego fan. So I get to be a dad for a whole lot longer and still play with my kids for a whole lot longer, which is brilliant. Two things about our early days as parents that really stand out. And the first is I wasn't there. So my TV career was taking off, was doing a lot of international travel and loving that. On the other side of that door was a single mom, my wife, married, but having to single parent this child with a child that had reflux. And for 18 months, he really didn't sleep through the night. And I recall a phone call in the middle of the Tunisian desert from Jackie to say, I'm really done. I cannot do this alone. Parenting is two people, not one, and I'm doing this single-handedly. And, you know, you get that phone call, you get that message from your wife, and you know that this is serious. This is life-changing. Hired someone to come to that hotel, drive me out of the desert, and managed to get home within 24 hours. And it was a marriage-saving moment. And for me, it was also just a red flag going up to say, Michael, you can't be an absent dad. You can't be an absent parent. Parenting is two people. For dads that are worried about, am I going to be a good dad? There are no rule books. So it's one thing to be at home. It's quite another to be present with your children, to give them your attention, to give them your energy, to listen to them, dad. My word, if we're not going to listen to our kids, if we're far too quick to speak and tell them what we think or to finish their sentences, they're not going to speak to us. So for me, I would say just listen and listen with an open heart and listen without condemning. I'd advise dads to waste time with your kids. Be in their faces. Let it be a fun and enjoyable time that you're with them. We're very, very much an outdoor family, so we love to exercise and get out. So we do a lot of surfing together, and the times that we've spent together in the water on the other side of the break, just chatting and connecting and hanging out, has been amazing. A dad also has an ability to teach a child or to encourage a child to take risks. I don't know too many moms who are kind of risk takers are saying to their kids, no, go for it. Yeah, jump. Why not jump backwards? You know, moms don't say that naturally. Dads do. And I think it's so important in a child's life. I think something else crucial for dads to do is to provide an environment of security for their kids. And by that, I don't mean a safe environment, but an environment where your kids feel safe enough to come home with anything and to know that whatever they do, they're going to be loved unconditionally. Freddie, whatever happens, you are always going to be my dearly loved son, my dearly loved daughter. Nothing will change that. I am so excited about the Fathers Matter campaign for one reason. I realized a long time ago that I'm replaceable as a CEO, as a teammate, as a presenter, as a producer. I'm replaceable in just about every role I have in life except that of a father. I'm irreplaceable as a dad, and so are you, Dad. And I want to encourage you to realize that, and so to take up the charge, take up the challenge. Your family needs you. They need all of you. If you have the title, not just a dad, but a father, then own the title. Be there for your kids. Give them all of you, because you really are vital to their health and their well-being.